anybody and everybody in, I guess that was my thought at the time. Bonnie?
Can I just ask out of curiosity, because I've never heard of that, what do they kind of base it on with the voting?
You know, that's, I think, well, I think it's more of how they feel about you, whether or not that, what's their perception of you, I guess.
Did you already, okay, here we go. You know, I was young enough, I never really had the chance to vote, so I'm not real sure, to be honest. My guess would be more of how they felt about that person. And then if they gave you the thumbs up, so to speak, then you were baptized for that show of faith into the Baptist church. When we read that, it was you're baptized into the Lord's church. So, any other comments? What does it mean to be on this side of the cross? You remember that was explained by Randall? What does it mean when somebody says that we're on this side of the cross? Dave? Right.
So there was a different covenant in place. There was, if you want to call it a different set of rules, different set of guidelines that people had to follow or to be a follower of God.
Yeah. Yeah, most of us would understand that. You know, so somebody that we're studying with, they wouldn't understand that. So many times, because again, I was raised Baptist, my own father would say, well, the thief on the cross, he wasn't baptized. We've talked about that before. But again, we got to stop and think, which side of the cross are we on? Randall mentioned to Mike, he said, the Ethiopian eunuch was on this side of the cross. We're on the same side of the cross as the Ethiopian eunuch was. So, does that all make sense to you? Pretty simple. We're kind of flying through this a little bit. I'm trying to get 3 chapters in. So if you guys have any comments, just start shouting or raise your hand. When Mike decided to leave the Baptist church, he realized at this point that this isn't the right way to go. What was his concern? What was Mike's biggest concern at this point? Yeah, what his parents were going to think. Man, I've been there. I remember when I was baptized, I was 23, and I told Stacy, I said, I need to let my dad and mom know. And I remember specifically, the church building was right across the street from my parents. It was kind of weird, but you guys know, we were all in Fort Morgan together. And it was right across the street from my parents. So after the service that day, I was baptized. We had went across the street. I think we went over to eat lunch. And I had told my father, my dad, that I was baptized the Church of Christ. And his first words, and I was a little nervous because I kind of figured he wouldn't take it very well, but his exact response was, I don't know why you were baptized. You were baptized at the Baptist church. He doesn't understand. And so he kind of took that a little bit tough, I guess, so to speak. But again, he didn't understand why. He doesn't understand. So I understand where Mike was coming from. Because Mike was raised Baptist most of his life, and that's where his parents were going. How does this common concern affect a potential convert? Somebody that is that may be possibly converted one of these days. How could this affect them? What about to the extended family? I guess the question they're asking is, you think that this may hinder somebody from being converted? I think so. Possibly. Worried about what mom and dad may think or what my family thinks. Hey, I was raised this way. They're not going to like it. I've heard that in the Catholicism. Rod, you were raised Catholic, right? Brought up in the Catholic Church. So
what you're talking about, I think a lot of it has to do with belief. If your belief is strong enough, you will go over. But if it's weak enough, and you're thinking about what other people will say,
That's something that I think that, how do we get that through to people? Just another question I'm throwing out here. How do we get that through to people that you can't worry about what they think? Take care of yourself. Worry about your own salvation. That's a tough one. You have to get that through to them.
This is working out your own salvation.
Yep. Fear and trembling. If we can get that through. Look at Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 12 real quick. Luke chapter 12. We're going to read real quick. I'll read 51 through 53. Listen to what Jesus said. Do not suppose that I came to grant peace on earth. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. There's a lot of truth to that. I saw it when I was converted. But my father and I, and we still butt heads, so to speak. I wouldn't say I'm against him. I mean, I still love my dad. My dad still loves me, but when it comes to doctrine, it's tough at times. So, Carla.
I think it's harder for family members that don't believe. It's harder on them.
You're giving your dad this book? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we're going to. We've talked to him about it. So. But I think it's harder for them to say that they're wrong.
Yeah. Well, and the thing I was told too is my dad had told me, he said, so you're telling me that all these people that went to the Baptist church are going to hell. Family members are going to hell. That's what they would say. No, Dad, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
But if they would just read it themselves, yeah, instead of going off of what they were taught growing up, if you read it as you matured in life, then that's what I have to do. I have to read it for myself.
Sure.
Not worry about what parents believe or what my parents believe. I have to read it for me.
Yeah, and I was the same way. Rod, were you done, Carla? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You know what? I tried to talk to my dad.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, and most, and this is worldwide, not Americans, they're brought up that truth is relative. And when you tell them this is an absolute truth, I think that terrifies people. And that's why they buck it, because that can be terrifying. That, you know, truth is not relative. There is an absolute truth, and I just think that is scary to people.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That was pretty much all of chapter 21. We're kind of flying through. Is there anything else added to that chapter?
What chapter?
Chapter 19. Sorry. We're going into chapter 20. Yeah. This is the chapter where Mike got kicked out of Sunday school. And I've never been kicked out of Sunday school, but has anybody ever been kicked out of Sunday school? Virgil, what's it like to be kicked out of Sunday school?
No way.
Ed. Okay, Ed, what's it like to be kicked out of Sunday school?
I don't say I was kicked. I was asked to leave one time.
Yeah. So, in this chapter, if you remember when Mike and Janetta woke up this that morning on a Sunday morning. Mike had already decided, well, we're not going to the Baptist church. Where do they go to church at that? Because they're not going to the Baptist church. He didn't understand at this point the church of the Bible that we read about. And so they were still wondering where they were going to go to church that Sunday morning. So they had to go somewhere. Well, they ended up going to a community church there. You guys all remember that? Red? Ended up going to a community church. Why? Do you remember why the people in that Sunday school class, or there was a couple guys, or at least one guy mentioned that you must be illegal, you're legalistic in your thinking. Why did he say that to Mike? Do you remember what the discussion was? What were they talking about? Does anybody remember? No? Well, I'll help you out. Virgil, were you going to say something?
No, I was trying to think. It's right here, but I can't come up.
Yeah, they were discussing on how husbands should love their wives. And there was a lot of responses offered, but a lot of it Mike mentioned was, well, I think this, well, I think that. I feel this way or I feel that way. And nothing was ever presented from the Bible. So Mike raised his hand in class and he says, well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And he read 21 through 33. And we don't have to read it, but it was just talking about how husbands should love their wives and how wives should love their husband. That Christ loved the church. And that's when somebody said, you must be legalistic in your thinking. And it's funny because what it brings to mind is this. Look at 2 Timothy real quick. They didn't want to hear what the word had to say. They just wanted to hear how everybody felt on how we should treat our wives and how wives should treat our husbands. But it made me think of this, and this was one of our memory verses, plus it's this week as well. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training, for righteousness, or in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And jump over to chapter 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will endure sound doctrine, will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Do we see that a lot today? We see a lot of that today going on. Verse 4, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to their myths. Do you remember what the teacher said after he had read Ephesians 5? What did the teacher of the class say? He said that, you know what, maybe you should find another class that would suit you a little bit better. Because it was a pretty good size. They had different classes for different age groups in there. It's kind of sad when you look at it, is when you read the coming right from God himself, through his word here, and people just, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. So what is legalism in your definition? What is liberalism? What is legalism? Okay.
Which is just fine. I mean, because it is.
Okay.
You know, legalist.
When I say you're legalistic, Justine, you're legalistic. What would I be implying?
That would be that you rely on law unto salvation.
Okay. Okay. I just threw a couple of, let's finish this then. I threw a couple of thoughts in my mind together on legalism and liberalism. What is liberalism?
Well,
Don't say, well, don't say Hillary.
He didn't.
What's that?
He didn't.
What is liberalism in your, Ed,
yes.
In your mind, what is liberalism?
Stretching the truth to fit your own needs.
Okay. Okay. I put legalism as this. Now, don't shoot me up here, okay? I wrote this down. It kind of binds where the Bible does not bind to. Would that make sense? No? I see one yes. I look at Kelly saying yes.
Well, Galatians 5:10 and following.
Okay, let's look at that.
Also, Acts 15. Galatians 5:2 probably is closer to kind of what Kelly was talking about.
5 what? 2?
Two through four.
Behold, Galatians 5, 2 through 4. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Okay? And you're saying that would be legalism.
That would be the sense of it. I mean, it's not that circumcision is bad.
Yeah.
But they were leaning on circumcision so they would be accepted in, well, let's just say accepted in the state of grace. Acts 15, I think, carried the same idea too.
Okay. Okay. Liberalism. Ed said what? Say that again, Ed. What did you say?
It's just kind of stretching the truth to get your own way. I mean, there's several things that could be used as an example. One would be, let's just say this. I was immersed into the Church of Christ. So
okay.
Therefore, I'm saved. Now I can live like I want to live. Whether I come or go, it doesn't matter. God's everywhere. I can worship God anywhere I need to.
Okay.
That would be kind of
okay. I wrote on liberalism, just my thought, loosens where the Bible is not loose. Or where the Bible does not loosen. Or looking for a loophole. Hey, there you go. That's a good one. Looking for a loophole. Okay. Any other comments?
Well, there's a lot of things that I can be more liberal on or more conservative on and not go to hell.
Okay.
I consider myself to be somewhat more liberal than maybe some of my Christian brothers and sisters.
Okay. Well, again, we're talking about, in this instance, salvation. So, but yeah, I know what you're saying too. Okay.
Liberal can be also your feelings.
Okay.
You go with your feelings because you think you're right.
Feelings are very misleading. Okay. All right.
I would say it would be having views and trying to support views that the Bible doesn't support.
Okay. So, loosen things up in the Bible where it's not loosened up. Kind of what I said. Okay. Non-denominational. We call ourselves non-denominational. What does that mean?
We accept all denominations.
Say that again.
In the denominational world, in the denominational world, when they say non-denominational, that means just come as you are. We accept all. We're not specifically Baptist. We're not specifically Methodist.
Okay. Any other comments on that one? I figured this one would really open up. Doesn't that say out here, Church of Christ meets here, or was that, it says that out there?
Oh, it says Kurt meets here.
Pastor Kurt.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
On everything that you just answered, conservatism, legalism, or liberalism, and denominationalism, the question has to come up, do we have a pattern in which we are set by? I mean, is there a pattern that the Bible produces in what God's people are to be and are not
okay.
to be?
Can you guys hear him? Can you hear him?
If you go one way or the other, are you going away from that pattern?
Okay.
Whether you add too much to the pattern
yeah.
or you take away from that pattern. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't understand, especially after words around, but we do have a pattern
yeah.
in which we are to adhere to the best that we can.
Yeah.
And another thing that people do not realize and kind of hit on this too, you know, it's feelings. Well, I feel like this and I feel like that. Well, we don't have a feel religion. We have a God-revealed religion.
Yeah.
And I think people need to understand that, and that way it would help them in their decisions of which way they want to lean right or left.
And it goes back to what why Mike got kicked out of class. They didn't want to hear what God had to say. You know, it's we've got this Burger King. I've said it earlier. Burger King religion, have it your way religion. Sometimes if we're not careful, we kind of can fall into that if we're not careful. Fight it up.
It's a division almost, which is actually the opposite of what we're supposed to be. You know, there are no division. We're unified.
Okay.
We are Christians. And that should not be then have those little subcategories at all.
Okay. I find it kind of weird how they all say they're all going to heaven, but yet they all do things differently. The argument to that would be, well, we're all getting to heaven, we're just taking different paths, different ways to get there. We discussed that. Dave?
Earlier in the book, I don't remember which chapter it was, I think it was Randall, and it might have been Mike's observations in his study, that so many different groups, and it might have been Mike as he's struggling with, okay, where do we go? But there's so many different groups, and some teach diametric. Both be biblical, maybe neither one is biblical, but they can't both be biblical and be diametrically opposed and both get you to heaven.
goes back to kind of what Ed said. We have a pattern we need to follow.
Right.
So.
Well, it goes back to, I think it's an earlier chapter, where, I don't know if it was a Baptist or a Methodist, you know, a guy who's thought, you know, using, I'm the, you know, vine and the branches and everything, and they're singing.
Yeah.
That a lot of people have in their head. That's why we all,
yeah.
you know, we all have it going off these different branches.
Yeah, yeah. What he said was Christ was the vine, and the denominations were the
branches.
Is what,
and
yeah.
That's what I think most people see that as.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's because that's what they were told once. That, oh, okay, and because that tickled their ears, and so
yeah.
I'm going to take that. You know, someone said this, so they take it and they run with it and don't think.
They've probably been told that a number of times, and with that and a number of other things, but again, he says it's easier to believe a lie you've heard 1,000 times than believe a truth you've heard once.
On two, I guess, two examples of where a name can be an issue.
Say that again, a name?
Where a name,
mm-hmm.
like for Christ. Out in North Carolina where our daughter lives, we went out to visit several years ago right after she moved out there. We called several, St. Matthew's, St. John's, we called Oak Forest, I guess. And I actually got hold of the preacher at Oak Forest. I didn't get hold of anybody at the others. And he said, well, he said, I'm glad you got hold of us. He said, because in this part of the country, Church of Christ is the name that the Disciples of Christ use, the Christian Church uses. So if you go to some of those, you're going to get instrumental music, you're going to get women preachers, that kind of thing. Even on their building says Church of Christ. My wife Mary and I have also attended a congregation that on their building it just says Christians meet here. Their service, their what they taught, what they practiced would all fit perfectly well with what we do here on a Sunday. And so they were trying to get away from, if you want to call it the stigma, of the denominational viewpoint of
Church of Christ. Yeah. Okay. Okay, we've got to keep moving here. Interdenominational. What is interdenominational? Remember he mentioned that the community church was interdenominational. What is that? What do you guys think that means in your mind?
I think a lot of times, we'll take a small area like Estes Park.
Okay. Yeah.
That isn't always true, though. I overstated that. There are community churches that teach the scripture right down the line.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I just wrote down that it's taken things from all faiths and trying to put it into one and do like you said, make everybody happy,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. Yeah. Yeah. Listen to what Mike said here. I was going to read something, what he mentioned about some community churches. And I want some of our visitors to understand that we're not here discussing. It's not the people that we're upset at, or I shouldn't say upset. Upset wouldn't be the right word. But what Mike was upset about in the book, it was the doctrine that was being taught. And it's not the people, it's the doctrine that's being taught. We have to understand. Because in all churches, there's some truth taught. There's some truth in there, and there are good people that are there. When I was raised in the Baptist church, there are good people in the Baptist church that when I go back to Fort Morgan, I still like to see them today. Because they were kind of an example in my life and tried to steer me in the right direction. So it's not the people, it's the doctrine. So Mike mentioned here in the book, excuse me, that the community churches that we visited claim that they were non-denominational. In reality, they were interdenominational, kind of took everything in. They took in everyone from all faiths and creeds. They practiced everything and stood for nothing. Their main objective was to attract the masses with feel-good, positive, success-type messages. We see that on television even today. What's the one? Who's the guy that? Who? Joel Osteen. He's in Houston now. And if you're a Christian and you do what's right, you're going to become rich, kind of, so to speak. That's kind of what he's teaching. They talk about God, love, faith, hope, and a variety of Christian attributes, but did not open the Bible. Why was that? Probably because when you open your Bible, you will quickly find the real New Testament first century Christians stood firm on doctrines defined by the Master. They had a pattern that they were taught. Ed just mentioned that we are to follow. The doctrines of the Holy Word of God are much different than the... this is what he mentioned. The sweaty-palmed, weak-kneed, rosy-cheeked, wishy-washy, feel-good, stand-for-nothing, ineffectual, spineless, let's all hold hands and just get along garbage being dished out by the community church crowd. So he mentions one more time, for the time will come, in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, we just read that, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned in unto fables. So we see a lot of churches do that today, community churches, as well as the Baptist church. I've seen major changes in the Baptist teaching as well. They've gone from, this is the way we do it now, they're kind of swaying this way now, we're doing it this way now. So they're not following a pattern that we should be following in the New Testament. Does that make any sense? Any comments? Okay, we got to fly through this. Chapter 21, Muscle and a Shovel. Somebody quote to me Acts 2:38. Everybody should know Acts 2:38. This is the big one that we all know. Somebody quote it. Can you quote it? Anybody? Come on. I know you guys know this one. Walter knows it. Come on, Walter. I can't hear it. I can't hear you. Okay, for the remission of sins. We're going to talk about the word for, F-O-R, real quick. I thought Ed taught this in class. A lot of churches, Baptist churches, one of them, that will take the word for and misunderstand the word for. They'll say that we are baptized for the remission of sins. It'd be like, we are baptized because we have remission of sins. So to speak, we've already been forgiven, so we're going to be baptized for that. They have taken that out of context and misunderstood, and here's why. The Greek word for is eis, E-I-S, if you want to write that down, E-I-S. The Greek word for is E-I-S. If you look up what the Greek word E-I-S, eis, stands for, means, it means into or unto or towards something, an entrance into. So what it's doing is it's showing a direction. That's what for means in the Greek. Eis. You all following me? Did I throw you off? Are you lost? Yeah? Rod says yes. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody lost? Eis.
Basically, the idea is that you're baptized because you're saved.
That's what the Baptists teach. That's what a lot of community churches teach. We hear that in all of the denominations. A lot of them will teach that. You're baptized because you are saved. You are baptized because you're just showing your faith. I heard that a lot when I was younger. But we have to understand what is for. F-O-R-E. What is the true meaning? It means into or unto something. Now, let's look at Acts 2:38 for a second. Open it up. Do you have it there? I know we got it in our minds. We all pretty much know this, but look at that. Acts 2:38. Let's look at it. Just look at it for a second as I read. Be baptized. Now, look, we're going to put ice in place of this. This is going to make you look at it probably a little bit differently. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, ice, or into the remission of sins. Does that make sense? Into the remission of sins. It's not because you're already forgiven, you're baptized. It's because you're being baptized into the remission of sins. Does that make sense? Virgil, you're looking at me like you have no clue what you're talking about.
But I've never heard that phrase into as for before. Now,
okay.
Unto, yes.
Or unto. Or into, it's the same meaning in the Greek. Does anybody have anything else to say to that? Add to it. Does it make sense? Okay. Walter. And the reason I, real quick, the reason I say this is we all know what Acts 2:38, we all know what it means. But when you come across somebody you're studying with and they're saying that, no, we're baptized because we've already been forgiven, this is when you need to go and say, well, we got to see what the Greek says about the word for. Go ahead.
They say because of, by chance.
Or because of, yes, yes, yes.
Do you have the Greek word for because of?
I do not.
I just thought maybe you might have.
Does anybody, Ed, do you know any, no? Is anybody a Greek scholar in here?
Didn't look.
I'm not a Greek scholar. Yeah?
I forget what it said, but it's in there.
Oh, yeah, because of, hold on. Because of, he did mention that. It was, I forgot. I'll have to look it up. I'll have to look it up. But he did mention it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Any other comments on that?
I have a question. I read the book, but I forgot about what the discussion in the book was. But when we are baptized, why would you want to baptize a person who is saved?
Yeah. That's a very good point. I mean, what's the point of doing it if you're already saved?
I think actually you're baptizing a person because he's dead.
That's right. Well,
and that's the idea that is a picture of it in the 6th chapter of Romans.
Yeah.
Didn't you not know that you were
baptizing the Christ into his death? Yeah, and again, it goes back to getting people to understand that we need to obey the gospel. And what is this gospel? It's the good news. And what is the good news? What is the good news that Christ brought? Christ died, was buried, and raised, and was risen again for us. And we need to obey that. And to get somebody to understand, how do you obey something? And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. How do we obey something that Christ did for us? It goes back to Romans chapter 7 or chapter 6, you mentioned. Anything else? Okay, I got to wrap up here. Muscle and a shovel. He mentioned, I got 1 minute. Muscle and a shovel. What is muscle? We called the book Muscle and a Shovel. What did he say muscle was? Do you remember? Muscle was mental toughness, right? Is that what you guys took it as, Dave? Is that what you remember? Or do you remember that? Call it mental toughness. A shovel was honest intelligence. Honest enough to dig deep beyond our preconceived ideas, he said, our false beliefs and our comfortable traditions. This is where he came up with muscle and a shovel. Kind of neat. So, all right. That is Justine.
Oh, and just for the because the Greek ice, to me, because of, has to be followed with the word heat, so ice.
Ice.
T-I-S.
Is that where they came up with iced tea? Just kidding. Excellent question. All right. Any other comments? We got to wrap it up. They're starting to come in. So thanks for coming today, and we'll go into three more next week.